Welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus. Today we are joined by Rabbi Nosson Dubin, Kashrus Administrator at the HKA in Houston and the founder of the Kosher Institute of America. Thank you, Rabbi Dubin, for joining us. Before we get into this conversation, I have to ask you, you founded this institute. What is the purpose of the institute? What are you looking to accomplish?
So the institute is an online training institute. So it originally started out as a course for people looking to learn about kashrus, just to go through everything, all the basics, and for refreshers. That's how it started out, and it was sort of a small online course. Since then, we started making, I was approached by Rabbi Fishbane, Rabbi Shalom Fishbane of ACCO and CRC, and he asked me if I would be interested in considering making a standardized mashgiach course for mashgichim around the world. So we worked on that, Baruch Hashem, over the course of a year. We created that course, and we launched January 2020. And each hashgacha actually has their own independent courses, the same fundamentals, but then modified for each hashgacha. So right now, as of now, we have, Baruch Hashem, about 2,000 mashgichim on five continents.
Who have taken your course?
Who are middle or in the middle, graduated, depending on where they are, and 31 hashgachas around the world using it.
Phenomenal. Chelcha loy raisa, beautiful. Thank you for what you do. Now I'd like to dive into a topic that's very, very important, very relevant, and one that, frankly, I don't think is discussed enough. Aniyah Cotton, I'm just saying, but I've heard from Rabbanu Machshirim, who have said that this is a really important topic, and that's the kashrus of food in shuls and yeshivas. I have not yet heard of a shul that has a hashgacha, nor have I heard of a yeshiva that has hashgacha. They have from cooks, they have from people milling around, but typically batei knesses, batei medrash, yeshivas that have food being served do not have hashgacha. So my question is, why?
It's a good question. I don't know if I would necessarily put schools and shuls, yeshivas and shuls necessarily in the same
category.
Right. I think there are similarities, but I think that they're different. Obviously, in an ideal world, yes, every shul, every yeshiva, every institution should be, you know, wonderful, be under hashgacha. Like, why not, right? It's not always practical, you know, in an out-of-town community where there's one big shul and that shul also runs the Vada Kasheris, maybe that's easier, right? But we have small shuls, different shuls, and not necessarily associated with a Vada Kasheris, it's not always so practical. That said, a few days ago, I got a call from an individual in a city, an out-of-town community in North America. The school recently built a brand new, beautiful kitchen and starting to serve meals for all the Talmidim. Wonderful. This individual who called me, not officially associated with that yeshiva, but heard a little bit what's going on and said, do you mind if I tell you a little bit about the setup and tell me if you think I have reason to be concerned? Okay, I'm all ears. They have one large kitchen. One side is milchik, the other side is fleishig. They hired a non-Jewish cook and a non-Jewish assistant cook who's going to be making all the food. Do I see any reason to be concerned? I said, let's start this again. So there's no mashgiach. There's no person in charge of the kitchen. There's no kosher, there's no religious person working in the kitchen. There's no protocol set up for the kitchen. It's one kitchen with milchigs and fleishigs in the same kitchen. Yes, I think there's reason to be concerned. Okay, so we needed validation. We walked through, and then we'll get to that if you want soon, some of the practical guidance that how to set up a school kitchen, a shul kitchen properly. So like I mentioned before, ideally that would be great. Have hashgacha, and then you just pass off the responsibility. It's not always practical. But we can discuss some of the practical things that I think are more realistic for a shul and for a school.
I think it would be two different tracks.
So let's start with yeshivas. Typically, if a yeshiva does not have hashgacha, and I'm eating from their food, am I just simply relying on the run-of-the-mill Eirechanam Abisurin, that there's a frum yid there who's assuring me that the food is kosher, no different than if I was eating in his house?
So it's counterintuitive, because in a school setting, when you have a frum yeshiva with a from Anal and from Rabbeim, right? So you have this self-assurance that, of course, it's fine, right? But if you ask Manal, are you responsible for what goes on in the kitchen? I'm not responsible. It's not my job. What do I know about kashrus? Yes, to enter the Rabbeim, are you responsible? I'm not responsible. So who is responsible?
Even the Rosh HaMoysid is not my responsibility.
Whose responsibility is it? So hopefully there's a firm person working in the kitchen. Hopefully they know a little bit about kashrus, and then everything's okay. And it's set up for a scary thought. It's a very scary thought, you know, because so as far as someone sneaking something into the kitchen, I don't think you really have that motivation so much because it's not their budget. They're not looking to make the budget so much. So that's not really the concern. But there's people, if you're not in kashrus, you don't realize how many things could easily go wrong. Does he realize that every time you open the convection oven, the oven goes off? And then if you leave it open for a little while, then it's special lachem if you close it? Does he realize which vegetables need washing, which ones don't need washing? Does he realize that certain hashgachas, there are certain hashgachas that we would kasher after using them? So there's a lot to know. There is a lot to know.
And it starts from the ordering of the food, right?
Very often they send the wrong item, right? There's a reason why there are kasher agencies. Right, and it's not, even in a situation like this where ideally it would be nice to be under hashgacha, but even if they're not under hashgacha, you need to have a system in place. There's gonna be problems in that kitchen if there's no system in place. It's pasha. I want to point out.
I think Rabbi Dubin, you'll agree, our halakha yeshivas are financially strapped as it is.
Yes.
No one should walk away from this conversation thinking that we're being cavalier about the budgets of yeshivas. Oh, just tack on another part of your budget for hashgacha, right?
Okay, so that's really why I said that ideally, yes, to have hashgacha, but the ideally is underlined and bolded, right? I'm not necessarily suggesting that's the only route. Right. It can be done without a hashgacha with certain guidelines. Number one is, and this is really universal for both, at this point, a shul and a school. I think I have number one, is there needs to be one individual who's a achroi for every single thing that happens in the kitchen. The buck stops by them. That's number one. It's aleph bes. And you see,
they'll oversee the ordering, they'll have the keys to the kitchen, everything. They'll oversee the employees.
They're in charge. And if you come into the kitchen and there's something wrong or there's an issue, that person is responsible. And you think it's pashut. It's not pashut. It's really not. It's really, really not. There was a school that called me. There was a principal that called me with a picture of a certain product. They happened to be walking in the kitchen. It wasn't a principal. It was a teacher. Of a specific product, and just asked me what the story is. And it's a product really not okay. You said they found it in the school kitchen. It turned out it was used for baking challah for the whole lower school of that yeshiva, and it was to a point that they threw out all the challah. Okay, who found that? A teacher that happened to have noticed. Who's responsible for that kitchen? Nobody.
How about the kalim?
So it happens to be like it was a type of situation where it was enough of a problem to throw out the food, but it wasn't enough that we required kashering the kalim. Whatever the halachic reasoning, but somebody has to be achroi. You need to have a person achroi for the kitchen. So I think that number one, and I think a lot of these points are universal for both schools and yeshivas and bati medrash, bati knesias. It doesn't matter, you know, whether it's a shtibul or a shul or whatever it is. There needs to be a person achroi. That's number one. Now the person achroi needs to be knowledgeable. He needs to know what to do, right? And people assume that we're knowledgeable, but when you start learning a little bit about kashrus, you realize there's a lot to learn. So if that person happens to be in kashrus, matayv manam, doesn't need anything. If he's not in kashrus, he needs to learn the inyanim, right? If, you know, so like we have, let's say, for Kosher Institute, we have the Mashgiach course, right? So take the Mashgiach course, take a course with another organization, right? There's information. You got to have the information. There's a lot of information that you'd be missing. So that person needs to be trained and needs to be achrei. That's pasha. Number two is there absolutely needs to be cameras in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now cameras, even if nobody is sitting and watching those cameras are so crucial for figuring out situations that happened and for that person to be able to have an idea of what's going on. And when I say a person is achrayim in the kitchen, it doesn't mean they have to be in the kitchen and a full-time staff in the kitchen, but it's someone who's in the school. It could be a Rebbe. It could be a teacher. In yeshiva, it could be the Rav, it could be the assistant Rav, it could be a balabas, a learned person. And when that person has access to the cameras, then they know what's going on. They could check. Like I have on my phone, I have access to all our restaurants, right? So I pull up my phone anytime, see exactly what's going on. Obviously, what we've pulled hashgacha from
every
places.
Every restaurant that you give hashgacha to has video cameras?
Has video cameras.
Really?
Yes.
Is that a prerequisite to granting the supervision?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Yes, and to the point that if their cameras are down, it's in our contract that they cannot open until the cameras are fixed. Uh-huh. And we've pulled hashgacha. We found there was a situation, you know, I mean, it's a little bit on a tangent, but we've pulled hashgacha based on it. We've had many issues that we've caught on camera. I'm not watching the camera the whole day, but like that story where we pulled hashgacha based on a situation, there was somebody that gave us a little tip about something that might be going on.
It's what we would call a mirsis. There's a mirsis.
It's a mirsis, and when people know that they're on camera, they
act differently.
They act differently. It's a different world. It's a very different world. And, you know, very often they need to be reminded. So, like, every once in a while, like, I'll try to do that in a positive sense. Like, if I see someone, let's say a mashgiach, who's doing a fantastic job washing the vegetables, I'll take a little clip of it, send it to him, great job. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, like, well, 1 second. You know, that means that this. And it creates a mirsis. And it also, very often, what it really helps for is for clarification of a situation afterwards. Something happened, somebody says, I saw something, there was an issue that. You pull off the camera, let's see. Everything is there. It's. You know, like Lassad Lavi, everything's there. There's no questions, right? So there needs to be a person achray, there needs to be cameras, and there needs to be, number three is the access to the kitchen cannot be open. You need to have a lock on the kitchen, and that person who is achray is the only one who knows who's coming in, who's going out. That's very, very important. Because especially in a shul, in a school, it's less, in a masifta, you know, then you need a little bit more sophisticated locking system for Thursday nights. But for a shul, you need to have. Otherwise, you have people coming in, they're making a simcha, they're dropping off stuff, they're taking stuff, they're taking stuff for the kiddush, they're taking the milchi kitchen. You know,
so you said that yeshivas and schools are different than shuls. Why?
So the difference. I mean, I would for a school, I would encourage them much more to be under hashgacha, because there's constant production of food. I mean, if they could, if it's an option. If it's an option to be under hashgacha, it's definitely, you know, it's the difference. The reason why I'm saying it's different is that the policies and setting up the kitchen, if you're not having hashgacha, are very similar. But with regards to a school, it's like a caterer.
Because you're serving food every single day. Three meals a day.
Mm-hmm. So there is no question that there are going to be issues.
Right.
When you have a shul, they're having a kiddush, they're bringing in kugel, they're bringing in challah, and they're even.